In the book of Psalms, Psalm 92 and the 13th verse, the 92nd Psalm, verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. When we read this psalm, we are conscious that we are brought so to view two companies of people. We find the righteous, and we find the wicked. We find the blessing of God resting upon the righteous, and we discover the wrath of God resting upon the wicked. Truly the workers of iniquity do flourish. It seems as though they can do what they like, how they like, and when they like. And yet, where does it all end? It is that they shall be destroyed forever. The righteous are brought into the house of the Lord, and consequent upon their position in the house of the Lord, they flourish in the courts of our God. And we don't read of anything relating to them wherein there shall be any destruction experienced by them. Rather, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright, upright in all his dealings, both with the wicked and with the righteous. Now we must remember that when we read the words of our text, there is set before us first the house of the Lord. We are not dealing here with a building. We are not simply dealing, as it were, with certain communities of people who gather together in the courts of the Lord. We are dealing with that which is entirely the property and the ownership of the Lord. It is the house of the Lord. There is his family. There is the place where he is pleased so to reveal and to make manifest his divine love and grace toward all them that are so found in his house. Oh yes, it's no good us thinking that simply because we attend a place of worship, or that we may be found within four walls, which may be termed the house of the Lord, that we have that position in the house of the Lord. We may have the external and be entirely devoid of the internal. And if we are not found in the internal, in that wherein the Lord himself has so placed us and put us and brought us into that relationship with his one family that constitutes the house of the Lord, we shall never know what it is to flourish in the courts of our God. Yes, the courts are the outer court. It is here that the gathering of the people is found, and that wherein they do so make their profession, they do it in the realization of the possession of that love and that grace that they have received of him in that wonderful work which he has not only accomplished by himself relative to the erection of the house, but in that wherein he hath made you to have a part and an interest in all that he has done by placing you in his house. So let us look at this blessed thing that is so set before us in the words of our text, that they that be planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. I see at the commencement of the psalm that there is the description that it is a psalm for the Sabbath day. Well, it is a blessed thing when a man who knows his interest in the Lord can look around and so see his preservation from that which is all around him in regard unto the condition of the world at large. That he has been taken out of the world, and that he has been brought into close proximity unto the Lord. That he no longer finds his delight in that wherein the iniquities of the world do so consist. Remember, you and I by nature have no ground for boasting. We are by nature not a whit behind the most wicked character that can be evidenced upon the face of this earth. All the seeds that were in his heart are likewise in our heart. And it is only by the mercy of God that they are indeed kept in subjection under the divine dominion of his power and grace. No, we have nothing to boast of. But if our boasting is to be, then it shall be in the Lord, the one who has taken us up from thence, the one who has set us in the house of the Lord. Ah, here we find our companionship. Here we find that which is so congenial unto our soul's desires. Here it is that we know what it is in that which he commanded unto his disciples, love one another. So look at the plantation, as it were. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. And keep in mind, please, all the way through, that which is relative to the house of the Lord covers all the redeemed family of God. And that which is relative to their obtaining any inheritance in that wherein the Lord of the house doth so preside and so possess and doth so communicate of his goodness, that this is all owing to himself. No, that which is relative unto the one that is brought into the house of the Lord, it is an amazing act of divine grace. Listen to what the psalmist says as he contemplates it. He says, "Though thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work, I will triumph in the work of thy hands." Here then is the house of the Lord, the plantation of the Lord. You remember, no doubt, how that in the Song of Solomon there is a reference unto this same blessed truth, and in that chapter which we read in Isaiah there is likewise set before us those who are the planting of the Lord. The house of the Lord. Here are a people who are gathered by him. Gathered by him in accordance with his divine will concerning them. Yes, it is not left to any contingency of man. It wholly depends upon the sovereignty of the divine will and purpose of God concerning them. You say, well, we know these things, but do you rejoice in them? Does your heart bound, as it were, and leap for joy, as you realize that if you have any interest in the house of the Lord, that wherein he is indeed Lord unto you, that it is only in that wherein, in the eternal purpose of God, you have ever been given any interest in it. There is a looking back. There is the beholding of the state from which God in his infinite mercy has extricated thee. For thou wast amongst the wicked at one time. But he came and he gathered you. He gathered you in that wherein, in his divine love and grace, he determined that you should indeed have this position in his presence. What a wonder. Oh no, I cannot take unto myself aught that relates to any credit for my position. Whether it be as a minister of the gospel, or in whatever position I may be found in connection with the apricots of God, it is only in that wherein he, in his infinite mercy and grace, has so been pleased to come and to pluck that one as a brand from the burning, and to place him in that position which the eternal will and purpose of God so ordained from eternity that he should occupy. Oh, do you not love to see a sovereign God in all the actings of his divine grace towards you? That it doth not arise out of you, and the very fact that there is now those springs within your heart of love and of faith, it all comes from him. It's his work. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The wonder of it. And even as you realize that you may be one of those gathered ones, brought out, placed in this position in which God in his infinite delight and pleasure concerning you as so designated to be your own, that thus in the gathering he has collected you together with a number which no man can number. They who shall indeed populate the whole courts of heaven. Hast thou an interest in that wherein they gather round the throne of God and sing his worthiness? Oh, everyone that is within the house of the Lord can only speak and laud the wonders of him. They see all loveliness and all excellences in him. And why do they see these things in him? Because of that wherein they behold the very contrast in themselves. And that which has become hateful and abhorrent unto them. Oh, when there are the uprisings of sin now within them, have they been collected by sovereign grace? Then, mighty hearer, these are the struggles, these are the conflicts that so rise within your soul, coming forth not only from your corrupt nature, but from all the machinations of the evil one, that he may distress you and make you fearful and doubtful as to whether you really have this standing in the house of the Lord. But think of that word, collected. My friend, if he collects, who is going to take you out of his hand? Who is going to rob him of that which he claims has his own? Where is the power that shall ever be able to overcome the infinite? Oh, has he not demonstrated it in that wherein, when he came to this earth, he so gathered together unto himself a little company, and so instructed them in the things of God, until he came to that point where he declared that the prince of this world is judged. Yes, and he who collects us. Let us remember that in the house of the Lord there is that wherein there is one that hath been judged, one whose head has been bruised. Yea, and now he can but nibble, as it were, at the heel. You are distressed, then. You are cast down at times. You say, Lord, make it plain to me, make it real to me. Don't let me be taken up with simply, as it were, some imaginations or some theories about these things. Lord, I've known the Scriptures so long. I'm afraid that these things have got into my very mind until they become a very part of my soul. But Lord, what do I know about them? What do I know of the greatness of the working of thy Spirit through them within my own heart? Yes, there is the working. My dear hearer, you know, if you weren't in the house of the Lord, you wouldn't be exercised like that. There wouldn't be any need for it. It's only because you are where you are by the divine sovereignty of his grace that you are indeed so tormented. But blessed be his name. If I'm in the house of the Lord, if I'm secured and collected by him, then it is that I may find in him that fullness whereby there is the sense of companionship, of one to whom I can go and talk and tell all about these things. Why? Cannot the daughter or the son go to the father or the mother and so declare unto them that which may be distressing them? They may come with tears. They may come and they may say that wherein they have been so sorely tried as that their feet have well nigh slipped. Yes. Is there an unresponsive ear unto that, wherein the child may so pour out its heart unto the parent? Mighty hear of that which is to be discerned concerning goodness among men upon earth is only that which is derived from the very character of the one from whom we have to deal. Yes, here is a father. He is the head of the house. And he loves that his children should come and so tell him all their troubles and all their difficulties. I was going to say what poor things we are that we don't go to him more often. What a ready reception there is in that heart of love. So to receive thy confessions, the pourings out of your heart before him. For in the house of the Lord there is a provision, a rich provision, a provision of grace, that which shall become a banquet unto your soul, for you shall feed upon him, who is the giver of every good and every perfect gift. He supplies all the need out of that fullness and glory in Christ Jesus. But not only gathered and collected, but they are established. They are fixed in the house of the Lord. Has the Lord put his hand to the work? Has he so gathered and collected me? Then, mighty hearer, do you think anything regarding that work is going to be left out, so that it is not perfect and infallible? No, just the very reverse. When he takes thee and gathers thee and collects thee, then he affixes thee firmly in that which is relative unto the place which he hath purposed you shall indeed fill amongst his family. Blessed be God. There is the establishment within the soul of that truth. You have known what it is to be shaken. to have trembled at times. My dear hearer, what have you found? Haven't you found in your own soul that wherein there is a sure foundation for your feet? Haven't you realized in your experience that wherein there is a rock upon which you can rest your whole weight with confidence and trust? Yes, he who has fixed you firmly in the house is he who has imparted unto you of his Spirit, that wherein the truth and the knowledge and the understanding of himself shall be laid in your own soul's experience. And then let us remember too that he is the owner of all that are in his house. If we are in the house of the Lord, we're not our own. We belong to him. Everything that relates unto us in his ownership is the object of his divine care and consideration. He is ever mindful of his own. He watches over them continually. What a blessed thing. If he has given me to know the effect of that work within my soul whereby I have been brought out in that former condition and brought to know the exceeding riches of his grace in that wherein he has gathered me unto himself, that I may know the things that he giveth unto them that love him. Yes. So we find this in our text, don't we? Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, they're not self-planted. They don't put themselves into the house of the Lord. Some people imagine they can. They think by reason of a profession. They think that by doing good and so forth, that they can indeed place themselves in the house of the Lord. But remember that word plant. That is the act of another, isn't it? You can't go and say, now I'm going to be in the house of the Lord, as though you had a right to be there. Every plant that my Father hath not planted is going to be rooted up. No. It is that wherein you are made to know that it is the Lord's work and the Lord's work alone that hath planted you in his house. It is a right planting. A right planting because it is operated in all wisdom. The wisdom of God. The wisdom which was personified in the person of Jesus Christ. The wisdom that is communicated by the Holy Spirit as he takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them unto us. For all his children are going to be taught of the Lord. They're rightly planted in his wisdom. Here be their understanding. You remember that word in Romans 8? Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I have understanding. I have strength. Herein is the wisdom so combined with the counsel and the strength and so forth, whereby he so brings thee into this blessed position. But note again, he knows the nature of the plant. He knew it right in the very beginning. And he, in his infinite goodness, has prepared the soil for the reception of that plant. He knows your nature. He knows what you are in brethren of your souls. So he takes you and he plants you in those depths of infinite mercy and of grace, a suitable soil unto the character of the plant. So he brings you, so he establishes you, those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Rightly planted, there is an effect. The plants are full of life. How do we know they are full of life? Life is a very wonderful thing. Life in itself cannot be explained. Yet life there is. The natural man cannot explain that which is relative to the very fact of life. And you, as you are found in the house of the Lord, may indeed have to confess unto the mysteriousness of that life that is within you. But they are full of life, and the evidence of it is in the growth. They grow. They don't stay where they are. They stay in the position in which the Lord has brought them, but they grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the growth, there is a going down in faith to the hidden and the secret streams of the divine love. There is a rising up within the plant of that wherein the nourishment is so administered, and it maketh itself manifest in the growth. And in that wherein the growth doth consist, you are made to know that wherein your entire dependence is entirely upon him for any bringing forth of fruit. There is no fruit bearing apart from that abiding in him. And so, faith. And what does faith do? It goes deep down. It reaches out after these glorious truths. It reaches to know them and to taste and to realize their blessed efficacy. There is a rising up within the soul. And as they grow in grace, it is in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do I know that I grow in grace? It shall only be found in that wherein I am made conformable unto his Son, Jesus Christ. But again, even as they are full of life and grow, so they are supplied and watered continually by the effectual work of the Holy Spirit in taking of the word of eternal life and communicating it unto your soul, and you in consequence drinking to these things. Why, what does he say? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. This he spake of the Holy Ghost. And here is the spring of that wherein the life doth so consist, supplied and watered by the eternal Spirit, in that wherein he brings home to your heart not only the word, but the effect and the grace that is within that word unto you. And these are they which are made manifest as his. It's those that be planted in the house of the Lord. How are they made manifest? Because they shall witness unto him. They shall bear their testimony unto him. Yes, they shall speak of the glories of him who is the head of the house. They shall tell of the wonders that they have seen in him, and they shall likewise declare that wherein they have been made partakers of his divine love and grace and goodness. These plants witness. They witness to the reality of the things which have been communicated unto. My friend, don't suppress. Don't try to keep down that wherein the desire may arise within your heart so to witness and to testify unto him. Grieve not the Spirit of God by which ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Yes, there is our witnessing, those that be planted in the house of the Lord. And let us remember too that these plants of the Lord are of necessity his delight and his pleasure. He looks upon them, oh, with supreme delight, even as he declared his going down into the garden in the Song of Solomon. It is the beloved that comes, and you delight in him, and he delighteth in you. And what do you find in the house of the Lord? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart, the desires to serve him, to love him more than you have ever done before, to trust him implicitly. And you know, it is in all this wherein the house of the Lord doth so consist that there is the unity and the peace of the family. Here is unity. Here is peace. You'll only find it in the house of the Lord. How strange it is that you can come up against people that you've never spoken to. And to your knowledge, they have never spoken to you. And yet at once, there is a felt going up within your heart towards them. You embrace them. You love them. Why? Why? It's not something that nature gives, is it? It is that which cometh from the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is the recognition of that work of God within that one of which you yourself have been a partaker and can testify unto. You are one in the Lord. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Let us very briefly look at the plants for a moment. They abide. They abide where they're put by him. And they abide in his love. He himself said to the disciples, relative to their abiding in him and his abiding in them, he said, continue ye in my love. They abide, they continue. They continue in his word. If ye continue in my word, he said, then ye are my disciples indeed. You have your feet ordered by my word. The way, yes, it is in that wherein the light of the glorious gospel doth shine upon it. This is the way. And you continue in it. What promising characters in one's own experience one has seen. And how we have thought that they would be real pillars in the house of the Lord. time has gone along, and they prove that they were not the planting of the Lord, for they have not continued. They went up from us, because they were not others. No union. But oh, if ye are the planting of the Lord, ye continue in his word. And you know your dependence upon his visits unto you. For these are the times of refreshing and reviving in your heart. Oh, it's no good, as it were, saying, oh, I'm going to hear the word of the Lord. I'm going to hear it read. Or you're going to sit at home in your armchair and read a chapter out of the Bible. What good does that do you in and of itself? Unless the Lord visits you through the word. And then there is all the difference. What a lifting up there is. What an exalting in him. Oh, you are then willing, as it were, to be taken clean away out of this life. You will indeed be where he dwelleth, in the house of the Lord. Yes, because you've got an affinity to it, haven't you? And then again, not only are you dependent upon his visits, but he fertilizes your soul. He giveth grace. And there are times when you feel sorely in need of more grace. What is the result? He knows the need. He knows what is good for that which is relative to the plant of his own right hand. And he calls his grace to abound towards you. He giveth more grace. And grace upon grace. And thus there is the establishment in the house of the Lord. Establishment in the will of God. Establishment in the knowledge of the truth. Establishment in the realization of the hidden streams of provision that God so supplieth your soul with. Yes, you can look back and you can see what the Lord has done for you. And what is the result? You long to show it. You long that that which is relative to his love and his goodness may indeed be made manifest in yourself, and that it may be made apparent unto those with whom you come in contact. In other words, these are they that are going to flourish, to prosper in the courts of the Lord. If we're in the house of the Lord, then we shall indeed flourish, even in this little cause of leaves. We shall flourish in this court of our Lord. And listen. You will be an evergreen, being a partaker of the glory of that wherein his covenant and all its blessings are indeed given unto you. You are like a green fir tree. Yea, let's go back to that first psalm. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf a profession that shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And if I know anything of your heart as a child of God, you say amen to that, because through the grace of God you still remain planted in the house of the Lord. And the evidence of it is made known in the liveliness, the animating realization that all these blessings are yours, and you have to show it, and you have to manifest it, and you can't keep it back, and you flourish. Oh yes, in the courts of the Lord. Oh, there is a rich provision that he hath made for his people. And when they come into his courts, and they receive of that provision, then they are fat, and they are flourishing. Or as you find it in the margin, they are fat, and they are green. May each one of us, through God's mercy, be evergreens, that our leaf may not wither, and that whatsoever we do may prosper, because we flourish in abounding in the work of the Lord. Not only what he's done for us, but that wherein your willing heart and spirit would likewise abound in a work for him. The work of faith and the labor of love. Oh, may God bless these few remarks. Make them realities to us and enable us to walk them out and to sing with joy of that Jerusalem, my happy home, name ever dear to me, yes, planted in the house of the Lord. Amen.